Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh,
you're in the madhouse now.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Flu! Flu!
The flu!
The Mike O'Mara Show cast dropping like flies. Yesterday, Robert Wadham Spiewak diagnosed with flu strain A. But ladies and gentlemen, Rob has the flu. He was diagnosed yesterday. Oscar said he had trouble breathing yesterday.
Yeah.
At the end of the show. I thought that's kind of normal for Rob.
Usually, oh, no. When you're first hand, and if you recall, I tried not to draw attention to it because nobody wants to play with someone that's trying to fight through playing sick, right?
Yeah,
I gave him this paper towel. I said, you got to blow your nose, man. If I got to hear another wheeze out of you, like, it's not going to work out.
And he usually gets a couple of times a year, he gets these little sinus things that he deals with, and he's sick for 3 months.
And he had, like,
this
walking pneumonia at one point, yeah.
This is the real flu where he was diagnosed, and I know how the drill is because they stick a pipe cleaner up your nose, and then they pull it out, and they come back in 10 minutes and say you had flu strain A. Guess what Rob got? I talked to him yesterday. He got flu strain A. Here, replacing Rob indefinitely is Robert Ford. Rofo, another Robert.
Robert Ford!
We've dropped
Robert
one
Ford
B.
Is here. Now, I don't want to slam you, Oscar, but I will tell you that quite often we have started the show with Rob gone, and you've been behind the board, and it's never been right.
No.
This is the first day it's ever been right, because Rofo's running the board? Is that what it is?
Rofo has been preparing for this moment his entire life.
So you were prepared. You obviously know how the show starts, or you rehearsed how the show started.
I was here at 10 p.m. last night, and Rob was here preparing.
Oh, definitely. Definitely, for sure.
I give you a round of
applause.
Thank
you so much.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And it's exciting. We're excited to have you here, and we wish Rob Spiewak a speedy recovery. And we welcome Robert Ford.
Robert,
not Wally
Pip.
Not Wally Pip. No, I'm not going to say
you
that.
You should know also that Rob, as an executive producer here, not just a Podcast Village, he also works on the Big O and Duke Show on Thursdays.
Okay, so he's got reps on boards. You and I are, for most of my life, I've been away from the board. I rub them on my board, but it doesn't count. And you hear me screw it up here down the time. I have not run board since I started working with Don. That's
like
how long 86? Ago it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't run board. Yeah. I didn't run board when Don used to be sick, when I'd be doing the show by
Bob
myself.
Ford
I didn't run
runs
board after
the board.
That. You run the board.
Put it on a bumper sticker.
Rob Ford runs the board.
So, yeah. Rob Ford, welcome to the show. It's great. And Rob Spiewak, get well soon and deal with that flu
strain. Thank you so much.
And use the time. I told Rob, use the time to rest.
Rest.
Use this because that's rest, the rest, only rest. Thing that. And I also told him to frequent the Vicks family of products, to get into a drugstore and get the NyQuil, DayQuil. Because, by the way, the physician's assistant, the PA, the nurse P, the practitioner, the whoever the individual is, because the doctor is out there going, I'm a doctor.
Yes.
When Rob said to me that he was dealing with a PA, a physician's assistant, who by and large are doctors, they do the same thing doctors do. You know, I said to my wife,
they're not doctors, though. But
they are the ones that see all the
patients. They do the doctor's work.
Yeah.
But the doctor has to sign off on what they're doing.
Yeah, but the doctor's
now. I'm a lot of messages, Mike. It's going to be
Carlos
great.
Said, Carlos said it's
I'm a physical assistant. How dare you?
Carlos said it's money, that they can see more patients by bringing on these nurse practitioners and physician's assistants.
You're absolutely right, where the you don't have to have – it's how much you pay the actual person. So if you go to the doctor's office and the physician's assistant – and look, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the way I see it – sees you, it's going to cost less – per patient to pay that person than the doctor. So a practice doesn't have to have 20 doctors. They could have 5 doctors and 15 physician's assistants.
What is the difference between and probably no one can answer that in this studio. What is the difference between a nurse practitioner and a physician's assistant? What is the difference?
I think 2 more years of school.
So a PA would have 2 more years of school.
I think it's just an associate's, and then the nurse practitioner, you have the full years.
Yeah, 4 years.
Okay.
I dated a nurse practitioner in from George Mason, Mike. She was sweet. Also crazy.
That's right. He dated a nurse practitioner.
Yeah.
But she was crazy?
Well, she broke it down for me. She wasn't crazy. I was probably in a bad space in my life. Dating too many women at one
What's
time.
What's wrong
found
with
out,
you today?
You know,
you got a different demeanor with Rofo.
Was that the one that you said was really giving?
She was really giving.
She was really giving. I've heard about the nurse practitioner before.
She was giving.
Yes.
Oh, see, this is big on Duke's material.
Yeah.
You know, and,
you've got this. Is the worlds are colliding, Mike?
Okay.
And also, you should know that Chad Dukes isn't a big Rofo guy.
He what?
He's not a big Rofo.
Oh, there's
guy.
Definitely some beef.
Yes.
Oh, really? Well, I'm not a big Rofo guy sometimes. Yeah, I get
why
mad
this
at him, too.
Is bizarro land, but a great...
Because at his heart, Rofo... Well, let's dive right in. at the core of Rofo... And Oscar, I need you to be the psychoanalyst here.
Oh, I have a lot of dirt on Rofo.
At the core of Rofo, I believe, which makes him also good on the air...
He's great.
Is a core of anti-authoritarianism.
Yes, that is very true.
He's anti-authoritarian, yes. or he's anti-authoritarian by nature. He does not like to kowtow to the man. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, but yes, that's
accurate. And Monsieur Dukes and Monsieur O'Mara like to have people, you know, show a proper amount of respect and deference, and that does not always come out of Rofo. With that said... It also means that he has a level of reckless fearlessness that can contribute to what I
broadcasting.
Think is great for
yes,
content.
Yes, yes.
But I also think that my initial love of Rofo, when Rofo, did you come in as an intern first?
Is I came in as an intern in 2014.
Yeah, he was at your house.
And at 2014, my love of Rofo was instantaneous. And then as time progressed... There were several bumps in the road, and then he ended up doing stuff at Podcast Village. I just didn't see him anymore.
Oh, no, remember, we offloaded him to Tony Perkins.
And wasn't there, at one point, wasn't there a little controversy with him where he got kind of snippy
yes.
with everybody on the show, mm-hmm. right? Isn't mm-hmm. that? Is
he was
that,
a younger man. He was a younger man.
That's the anti-authoritarian. Yeah. Maybe during the initial days of your courtship with the young lady. I don't know. You could tell me. You know what? I'm going to lay it on you.
Yeah.
I'm
Mike doesn't really remember you. Can you tell Mike
I remember.
About your...
I love the guy. And I remember. Like, yeah. And I made jokes. I went to a ball game with him. I don't go to ball games with people.
The mayor
I went
has to been a ball to your house in Maine.
He was at our house up in Maine.
Absolutely.
And they were like, hey, Rofo, you got to take a shower, man. If you can stay here, you got to take a shower.
Now, you didn't need to bring that back up.
He was
you
a really younger did, man.
But you're causing trouble. He was a younger man.
Yeah.
And he was sweating and working hard, putting our equipment. Do you remember? That will always be the memory I have for where we've progressed as far as equipment is concerned. Because we came in, it was like setting up for a Grateful
Kiss.
Dead concert.
Kiss is about to play
ridiculous.
Your living room.
It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. We had so much equipment that it's a
transistor
different
here.
Work. We're still hauling around some analog stuff.
But it's not three band rollaway cases that you're rolling into a beautiful home in Maine.
With RJ with towels on his shoulder and all that.
The best Rofo story within the lore and history of this show. In my opinion, Mike, and I just remember seeing this beautiful harbor.
Do I hear music somewhere?
No, it's just the streets have no, the streets noise, street noise.
All right, where the streets have no name.
They Imagine this picture. And I want the listeners to go with me. They're beautiful Adirondack.
Are you saying imagine this picture?
Imagine this picture, please. Beautiful water, nice clear water, and you've never seen the sky so blue. It's summer. It's Maine. The air is crisp. Yes. And around the corner of the house comes a gentleman who's roughly 6'5", and he's wearing clothes made for a toddler. And he turns the corner, and he's got the largest hookah you've ever seen in your life.
Oh, that's right. I forgot the
like
hookah.
He's setting
good memory.
Up a hookah business, and he sets up on the deck of Mr. Michael Mayer's family home. Yeah, I can guarantee you that's the first time a hookah's ever been close to the property.
Oh, you bet.
And
nobody's ever had a good. They had weed. There's probably been weed in that.
Yes, but
house.
Not a hookah made for 12.
Right. Exactly.
And Mike comes out, and you hear you have a screen porch door in the back, and he looks out, and he's looking at the bay, Frenchman's Bay, and he's like, "Oh, what a day!" It's like mid afternoon. You look to the left, and you're like, "What is that?"
And there's this giant Middle Eastern, sucking device that Rob Hooker Ford has flamed up at the end of the porch.
Yes.
And there he is sucking on it. And wow. I mean, this wasn't pre-vape. This was definitely in the era of vaping. You just preferred the hookah that, you know, something you could accomplish with a handheld electronic device.
It was a statement piece.
Well, it's all I really had, because I had, at that point, I had given up drinking. I've since taken it back up. And I think actually...
Attaboy. Good job.
And I think, Mike, actually for that trip, you were actually on a break for drinking as well. So that was kind of my device at the time.
Right. I must have done something really bad prior to that.
I don't know.
And it had become kind of just my norm. Replacing my drinking days with hookah-ing. And right. I'm like, for me, in that moment, it was like cracking a beer on that porch. But I was just flaming up this hookah, just like you said.
Do you remember the flavor you were sucking on there?
I believe that was earlier in my hookah smoking days, so it was a more fruity flavor. I liked the ones that were marketed towards 19-year-old girls. So I think this one was a Code 69,
wow,
which was
nice
a cross between like a Hawaiian punch and like a blueberry or something like that.
Well, didn't we give you a serious amount of crap about smoking? Oh,
we made him put him back in the car.
Oh yeah, and then like at one point, because
I think you did, Oscar.
Well,
you
I was embarrassed for him, and I saw that the rage was onsetting for you. You're like, oh, what did we do?
Well, it was my rage was what you had described, and I'm glad you remember it. Which was, here we are. I'm sharing with my coworkers and friends this beautiful spot, which, by the way, I think Oscar fell in love with. He loved the state of Maine.
Gorgeous.
I hope he gets up there again sometime. Probably won't be on that porch since I'm no longer a participant.
A different porch.
But I've got a different porch without the view. So it was this moment, and it's just like, here we are. And, you know, you've taken this moment, Rofo, and turned it into Route 28 in Manassas, that you could do the same thing you're doing on a sidewalk, looking at the elevated pickup trucks drive through the parking lot. And that's what it was. So you brought the hookah. We had a big gang of people up there. Was that the same trip where we went to watch the sunrise?
Yes.
Where we all went and watched
same
the sunrise?
Same very trip. Yes.
And
quite a trip.
It was a great trip. So I want to talk to you about the anti-authority streak in you. Now the clash with your other radio partner, Oscar.
So in fairness to Rob Ford, Chad, Drab and I record Big O and Duke's Thursday episodes at Podcast Village.
Chad is not there.
Chad is not there. So Rob Ford, because of the nature of the beast, is getting some good run on the Thursday episodes of Big O and Dukes.
He does not have contact with Big Shooter.
But Chad on air has said, I don't like the idea of Rob Ford because...
I get it. Okay, I understand. Because it's in a way...
It's a new guy.
When he comes in as a third wheel, he's replacing a body, which happens to be Chad's body. But Chad's doing 15 other shows.
He's got a jam schedule. And it's more of a joke. But then when on Tuesday's show, where Rob Ford isn't, we always ponder if Ford could handle the dynamics of would be a Chad Dukes or a Michael O'Mara. Like, can he handle it? Like, does he have thick enough skin to actually handle the demands of a producer?
Let's stop there. Yes. Let's stop there. Yes. So it has been your personality, Rofo.
Yes.
You're very witty, and you usually handle everything we throw at you, but there has been a reputation of some thin skin. And and moments that you've
and Ford's copped to it, like he's
you've copped to it. You're a sensitive lad.
No, absolutely. And in the moment when it happens, it's like a knee jerk reaction, and I can't help it. I don't want to be that way, but I can't help it. Like I'll think about it like 2-3 hours later, stew on it, and be like, right. Why did I act that way?
Would you be willing?
What's wrong with me?
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
It was the unveiling of Francis's cut of The Godfather. In the theater sat Francis with his quadrilla of assistants and editors and askuses, plus the rest of his production team were all there. The film was to open in 4 months, Paramount's big Christmas gift to the world. The lights went down, the picture started. 2 hours and 6 minutes later, the room began to fill with light. Francis, I want to speak with you, alone. I was on fire, and the prince himself took a half hour to get to my office. Thanks for showing, Francis. I couldn't help it. All my boys were telling me how great the picture is. They tell me not to touch a frame. The picture stinks, Francis. Got it? You shot a great film. Where the f*** is it? In your kitchen with your spaghetti? It sure ain't on the screen. Where's the family, the heart, the feeling? Is that left in the kitchen, too? Ooh, did Coppola glare. Schmuck. Name me a studio head that tells a director to make a picture longer. Only a nut like me would. But you're gonna do it. You shot a saga, pal. But you turned in a trailer. Now go back and give me a movie.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his settee, here's Mike.
This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show brought to you by Cornerstone. As things slowly start to reopen, we're seeing signs of stabilization in the housing and mortgage market. So, it's more important than ever to work with a friend you can trust, and I trust the team at Cornerstone First Financial. They did my mortgage, and they were a gem. Can you say they were a gem or they're gems? I'm not sure.
They're gems. They're both. Yeah, they're great.
Fine. As we adapt to the new normal, Cornerstone First has emerged as a leader by educating our listeners, not selling them. The low rate guarantee and the fact that they are a lender and a broker allows them to have all the programs available, and a retail bank can't do that. Our listeners are responding to Cornerstone, and they're getting great rates, and they are lowering their payments, saving money. Interest rates on a 30-year fixed have fallen into the twos for the first time ever. Cornerstone First will put your home's value to work for you. We'll come out of this together, and when we do, Cornerstone First will be there. 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing.
TV.
Oh.
Done.
Done.
I needed the final. I don't care if it cost me more money. Done. See you later. I'll use them for internet.
Back to DirecTV?
My business connected. Yeah, back to a DirecTV.
That's what
done
I do.
Today.
Yeah.
Done. It'll happen today. Cool. Welcome back to the show. Okay, so you're in the airport.
But make sure when you call DirecTV, you say you're thinking about changing over.
Yeah, it's tough because I've got like an outstanding from when I canceled with some equipment charges that they better wipe away.
Oh, they will. Tell them that you're dissatisfied and you're looking for another avenue. Can they make it worth... Mention the fact that it's a tremendous hassle to change over.
This may be the day, if you would be willing.
Of course.
This may be the day.
We can conference call.
Farm this out. That I outsource this to you and let you give you all my pertinent information.
We can do
this. That way.
Absolutely.
You think they do it even with your phone number or calling for a
friend? Yeah, I think so. I would just need your account number.
Okay, very good. Oscar Santana, back to the air.
Yeah.
Thank you. We just had to take care of a little business. We're running late.
When are we back from the promo?
And we're not doing the mailbag. We'll do the mailbag. Look, the mailbag has been tabled a couple of times. We're going to do the Yak Shack calls whenever. We're going to do the mailbag whenever, Tuesday through Friday. So be aware of that.
Fluid.
Back to Oscar.
Yes.
Your wife wants to stay on the plane. You want to cash in the money, but you're holding out because you think you might be getting more money. Check.
Yeah. And the person asked the question, hey, will I get my boarding pass, the same A15 that I left earlier for? She, the flight attendant walks up and asks the question.
Slaps her.
Comes back and says, well, sir, you'll have roughly $1,700 of credit. You could just buy an A-grade pass, like upgrade when you get to the gate.
Right.
And he goes, yeah, I will do that. All right. Boom, boom, boom. Three more people get off. They're like, okay. Answers. There are two slots left on this lottery machine because enough people have thought about it and now are getting off the plane.
Right.
So I said, Shannon, I've counted. This now or never. We got to move. And she said, well, what about Santos? And I said,
that
sounds like Carla.
I said, what about him? He's at Todd's sleeping. He has nothing to do with this equation. He never came on this trip. It's the first time we had a dogless trip in 2 years.
Yeah. He's sitting on the floor, just sitting in front of the TV.
I was like, he's licking his balls. I don't know what he's doing. He's just doing what he needs to do.
Todd offered him $1,700. Todd offered him $1,700
to leave
the apartment.
So I said, Shannon, you don't really work. You don't know what $1,700 is worth. And she looked at me. She goes, yeah, I do work. I work with you. And I said, okay, never mind. I can't say that. You're right. You do work. I said, Shannon, you don't really work that hard.
Oh, no. You made it the anthem? You went back to the original song?
Yeah, and then she said,
I got to know. Is this a seat? Is this a plane with three seats and three seats with a middle aisle?
Yes.
How are you seated right now? Is one of you on the aisle and one in the middle?
No, window.
Window, and all then right. Is there a third person that's listening into your conversation?
She's not loving this, but loving this.
Right.
She's doing that thing when you pretend to have headphones in, but you're not because you want to hear what's going on.
Sure.
Listening to the whole thing.
And she desperately wants us to leave because we've been arguing for 20 minutes about leaving.
Right.
And
get out.
I say, look, that's a lot of money. That is Orlando. That is Boston. That's coming back to see your mom. Sure. Like, mm-hmm. We're going to be fine. And if we leave at 4, Santos will be fine. And she said, well, what are you going to tell Michael? And I mean, I said, Michael O'Mara? She goes, no, Michael Corleone. I said, what do you mean? She said, if we get off this plane right now, you would have had your friend Michael Corleone, who picked us up from the hotel at 3:30 a.m.
Are you just going to say,
hey, remember that time you woke up in the middle of the night to take your friends to the airport? And by the way, your friend who borrowed your multi-hundred thousand dollar BMW for the week that you were there, left your car with no gas in it because he's a scumbag at the valet.
You did not gas it up?
I tried to. I just couldn't find a gas station.
All right, we're digressing. Okay. We're dragging. What happened?
She said, you're going to be the a-hole that says, hey, we're back. Do you want to have lunch? Because you woke up at 3:30 a.m. Hey, everything worked out for us. I'm sure you're dragging ass at your business right now trying to run that business because you woke up in the middle of the night.
I'd understand. I mean, you got the offer. Why?
Yeah, yes. As long as he knew the details.
And I said, Michael doesn't care, and he owns the company. He's probably
making that argument. I think she's just making that argument because she wants to stay on the plane.
Yeah. The argument takes 5 minutes. I ding, and I say, Michael's not going to care. I apologize for the gas already. I know I'm a scumbag friend. He'll get me back and I'll get him back. Whatever. Ding. Lady comes over and is like, we'll take that offer. She said, oh, I'm sorry. We've already fulfilled what we needed.
Oh.
Over.
Oh,
over.
No.
So now it's time for the blame game, right?
Wow. How pissed are you?
So I'm upset, but I'm not like upset that I'm.
I mean, you have to value the fact that you're up in the middle of the night and you're on the plane and you're at least going to make it to your destination.
Yeah, but it's the FOMO. Like I'm thinking of
fear of missing out on the money.
I'm thinking of people at the Cinnabon celebrating. I can't believe more people didn't get off.
Everybody at Hudson News gets a bottle of water.
I get it.
And this is what I also know, Mike. Our hotel, we could have gone back to our hotel and stayed, had a late checkout because we technically didn't check out of the hotel. We still had the room.
Oh, yeah.
We could have gone
in the middle of the night.
We could have gone back there.
So that's the plane you took?
I had to come home $1,700 times two less because we sat there and argued about a car that didn't have gas.
Oh, man.
Wow.
And my wife.
That had to be a wonderful trip.
Yeah.
No, well, she put her earbuds in and said, well, I'm going to listen to the Dropout podcast about Theranos. And I said,
What about the money? We're not going to talk about the money? That we just lost all this money? She goes, no. Santos is waiting for us.
Oh, my God.
This is
God.
My life. I did this to myself.
Oh, well. How was the rest of the trip?
Oh, it was great. It was, our hotel got flooded with sewage water. That was fun. And then it took them 3 hours to change the hotel room. Ask me if I showered before I got to
Yes. Your room? Your yes. room got flooded?
Yes.
Did you overstuff like you do occasionally?
No, this was in the toilet. It was something completely different. And I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he's a talker.
Where did the sewage come from?
We're in this 5-star hotel. And I, out of the blue, 9 a.m., I hear what is sounds like the Goonies scene where all the pipes are meh, meh, wah, meh, meh, like just in the walls.
Where's the poo water coming from?
So I go to the toilet, and I flush the toilet. I'm like, oh, that had probably nothing. The poo water was coming out of the shower that was made out of glass because they got to be all fancy.
Oh, ew.
And I said, that's not stopping. It didn't. It overflowed the little crystal shower ledge that it had. Call downstairs and said, you got a sewage problem here. I don't know what's going on, but we didn't do that. Sit there. I have all these pictures of a Roto-Rooter, a full like 4-course plumber quartet where you're like, they've got the snake, they've got a pipe, they got a guy with a plunger that looks like it's from the future.
And they moved you?
The whole time I'm asking, I got to take a shower. I got this live event. I got to be at a venue 2 hours early for. And they're like,
"You say this is a 5-star hotel?"
Yes.
Those aren't stars, Mike. The picture. Those are asterisks.
I saw the picture. Beautiful place. Did they move you at all?
They moved my wife. I had to leave. I'm like standing over the sink, taking a towel, cleaning myself. There's sewage water to the right of me.
Oh,
there's
man,
three plumbers. And I'm like, no one cares. No one cares. I called down on the desk and said, look. We've got a sold out program here in Phoenix that I'm about to go out. Is there like a gym shower I can use? Something like that. They said, sir, we'll move you as quick as possible. I go downstairs to the front desk to make a stink, right? Because I'm going to make a stink. I'm
going
to
tell them. At that point, yeah.
But, and I'm like, oh, I see what's happening. This whole place has turned into a club. There's no idea that they know. They don't know that there's sewage. There could be a dead body upstairs because it. Oops, 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 oops. I'm like, I need a new room. Need a new room.
Oops. I feel like we need a week to talk to him.
I know, right?
The best of O'Mara.
There he is. Headphones back on. Not a lick of feedback.
Boom, bam, boom, bam.
There we go. Ready to go. Ready to go.
And I'll show you my little boy haircut again. So
is it getting better? The haircut growing out a little bit?
It's getting much better. Sure. Yeah. It's actually, but I still have like one of the guys, my Boston buddy who sees me all the time. He goes, hey, little boy, how's your haircut? Thank you. Anyway.
Did you get my link?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Oscar has told me that there is a used Bentley for sale.
Oh, how nice.
For the reasonable price, used. Bentley that was built in 1823 that is for sale for $50,000.
It looks new, though.
Well, check the Carfax on it. Make sure it hasn't been in a flood.
So I follow this guy on YouTube. He's a YouTube celebrity, Doug DeMuro.
Who doesn't love him?
He gives you reviews really over the top, but like every man's review of vehicles. And whether I'll probably never buy.
Does he do good and bad, or is he all positive?
No, it's good and bad. He actually has He has a great score at the end that says this is what I believe that the car is within his rankings.
How does he score it? Like 1 to 10, or a percentage?
Scores. He's got probably 10 different categories: comfort, affordability, if it holds its price. So it's just your general car review. What I love about him is that once in a while, because he's affiliated with Auto Trader, he'll find a diamond in the rough, and you'll see in your feed pop up, and it'll just be like, buy this Ferrari for $85,000. But then he'll go and see the car and give you a full review of the used car. So when I saw this pop up, and it's funny because Mike for a while now, he had this bit with Carla where they would see a Bentley and they would yell Bentley.
Yeah, I didn't do it in the restaurant.
Okay, well,
I wanted to because it was one of those open air things and I really wanted to do it. But, you know, I'm in the belly of the beast. I'd look like a total rube. Does it make me a bad person, Oscar?
Yes.
That I am watching this car and he drives in and it is like a, I think maybe perhaps white would be the color, maybe cream.
Pearl.
It's this pearl.
Windrift.
It's pearly white.
Yeah.
It's a convertible.
Of course it is.
It's crowded. There are outdoor restaurants everywhere in this little place. I'll name it for you. It's a cool place to visit if you want to come down. It's called the Mercado.
Mercado.
You
know, it's,
they all have those kind of names, right?
What does that mean in Spanish? The market, right?
Yeah, market.
Yeah.
You know, I frankly would like funnier names.
The Margarita
Market. Like welcome to the condom or something like that. You know,
El Condon.
So he comes driving in And I'm not, you know, I'm just thinking this deep in my animal psyche down here that, you know, I envision for some, this is nothing I would ever do, but I'm like, it is the most egregious and ostentatious display of wealth that you will ever see, to be not only driving that car in general, but to be driving it through an area where you're obviously looking to be seen. And show your wealth off to the world.
It's a variant like in American Graffiti back in the 60s. People get their hot rods. It's their cruisers. They're cruising.
You're cruising. It's cruising. You know, you buy that car to cruise.
You buy it, probably do.
You don't hide it in the garage.
But as I'm watching this, can I tell you what my fantasy was?
Yes.
Well, I have no choice. I don't have anything else but a Volvo.
I would hide my Volvo if I could. I got street parking.
I'm not going to rent a car to go 20 minutes.
Hey, where's your car? Oh, yeah, Dan. Yeah, that one.
By the way, it's more like 50 minutes. But anyway, detail I didn't need to share, but I did. And he comes driving in, and deep down inside, I have a fantasy, and it goes like this.
Yes.
He's driving by, and there are tons of people and chairs and cars. And so you see little Bentley blip, little Bentley blip. And I just pictured how fun it would be to imagine with this obscene display of wealth to see slow motion in the air. I envision a slowly twisting milkshake in a paper cup hurtling through the air and landing on his perfectly tailored shirt with the big wide stripes, because of course that's where he's wearing.
Stripey
with
shirt.
His skinny guy.
Super with his I couldn't tell skinny, white haired though.
Oh,
white
yeah.
haired
long and the tooth.
I picture the boss from
Mad Men with the silver hair.
Yeah, I do
that's,
too.
That's exactly like what I picture.
Just
yeah.
you know, kind of and just in the air, you'd see this thing going, and then the milkshake lands on the pearly white
chocolate milkshake
chocolate milk, absolutely chocolate, rich dark chocolate, and it lands and it explodes all over the van. I'm sorry for that. I
similar
I probably
scene
shouldn't share
on
that,
CSI yeah. last night for those of you watching CBS. Where the the handyman to throw a air conditioner or a little fridge. No, I'm sorry. It was a dryer into the dumpster next to the woman's Rolls Royce or Bentley. But they hit a body and all the blood squirts up onto her white outfit and the white Bentley, which was I was like, oh, that makes an impact on screen.
CSI still getting it done. They're responsible for some of the grossest things ever.
Oh, they have and they were like cutting edge on that.
Do you
cutting
remember?
Edge, get it?
Two that jumped to mind. There was a Thanksgiving night episode about a guy who was a compulsive eater who ate himself to death. And I said, you know what? They know that they're airing this on Thanksgiving night,
yeah.
and everyone is full of their gills and they're watching it. And the other one that was great is the body that was hidden under a hydrangea bush, and because of the acidity of the body decaying, one of the bushes had different color flowers.
Smart.
It was
CSI.
A great
so smart.
I'm surprised.
CSI getting
was it
the gross
proper CSI, or was it a CSI another city last night?
It might have been the proper one. Okay. The original Sunday night. Uh-huh. Mike, so the reason why I sent you this is because I've watched this video multiple times because I'm a rube, and a $50,000 Bentley is like, you know, if I won half a Powerball, maybe I'd spring for that.
Right.
And you sit here and then you watch it and it's powder blue on the inside. And nothing would scream success like powder blue on the inside of the Bentley.
I think of Hank Kingsley, you know, that gets the Bentley in the Larry Sanders Show.
It was a sports car, wasn't it? Because he bought it from Elvis Costello.
I thought it was a Bentley. Oh, okay. That's another one where he gets another.
Okay.
What happens?
Come here.
I don't want to look at your car again.
You know. You're going to have to bleep me, Pony, but what is great is when he comes into the office and they say, how's your day, Hank? He says, oh, another wonderful day in Elvis Costello's piece of shit mobile.
So it was, it's just this brief little glimpse at that. And I don't know. I sometimes look at that and just go, oh, my God.
I know how you feel. Like, we were at
But I love cars, too. I love staring at them.
We're at the hotel.
Most guys like cars.
Yeah. In front of the hotel we stayed in Phoenix. This is like every other hotel like this in the country, where they have a round, like a circular driveway, but around the driveway they have
I'm sure you see this in Florida country clubs. They have Ferrari, Lamborghini, Rolls Royce. They have every these.
I don't
major
go to those
cars.
Places anymore, Oscar. But okay. I primarily see them out at the shopping centers. That's where I see them down in the
valet.
In a place
the
like
valet
that.
Of the shopping
the valet.
Centers.
Right.
Okay, and so
right.
the valet there's leaves the high ticket cars up.
Yeah,
front.
he puts all the
sweet cars right up front.
Yeah, everyone goes downstairs.
Yeah, and the right. Buick is away.
So just when you think you're like, oh, I couldn't see any other car, then you see the new Phantom Rolls Royce. It's not even called the Phantom, it's called something else.
Saw right. one of those. Yeah. Saw one of those on Saturday night.
And you see it because you don't get to see them in real life. So I'm sitting outside like a room waiting for my friend's car they let me borrow, which is in the garage because it's not as nice as all these other cars.
Yeah, it's only $120,000.
Yes. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, who? Like, I don't get mad, but I'm curious on who is driving this vehicle, right? Because they look young on the inside. Shocker 12 walks out. I don't know which Arizona Cardinal she's dating. Not to say that she can't make her own money. She could be an influencer. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Did you see the guy get out of the car,
no,
too?
No, it was just a hot young lady.
Oh, just a babe.
Yes, in her
getting
mid-20s.
Getting out of the car by herself. Yes. Getting out of that incredible $400,000 automobile.
I was like, man, look at that tuchus. That's what buys that car. Look at that tuchus.
Did she appear to be young, old, in
she's
between?
Probably one of the WWE divas. I just don't realize it because like when she walked in, I heard a lot of...
But you watch that and that's why you stay at that
hotel.
Yeah,
I was like, this is great. Mm-hmm. Where the F is my car?
Were you yelling? tell me you were yelling it that loud.
It was 27 minutes to get my car. Well, I'm like, well, I guess I'll watch this. It's fine.
It's fun. It's fun, but it's also,
I wanted
you know,
to go to CVS to buy some cheap waters. That's what I wanted to do.
I'm not paying mini bar prices.
No.
But I think it's a, you've got really a metaphor with the watered down margaritas is that here it is with all the flash and substance. Mm-hmm. You don't know what somebody's journey is.
No.
I will tell you that there are automobiles, though, that say whatever that journey was, you know, it's probably not an unsuccessful journey if they have. But you can also, you don't know because you don't know what kind of debt people are holding on to. He might have the car paid for, but he can't afford the payments on his house.
Or it's a
he might be in desperate state. He might be under investigation.
Or this is his fourth Lambo, and he's one of the Silicon Valley princes, and just
you never know.
And there's a definite chance he's behind on alimony. It could happen.
You never do know, but it's fun to do that. And then, you might reflect on yourself and start drowning your sorrows and then go out after wife goes home.
Why'd you realize get that Volvo, man?
I started at a place that was just super, happening and bright and expensive cars. And I ended up with the kind of place where people bring their Beagle and set it up on the bar stool.
I'm curious, Mike.
That's where I went. I went from
Beagles.
Top to bottom.
Could you count on one
Beagles.
Hand? Could you count on one hand how many Maseratis were parked at the Tiki Bar?
No, just cops.
Just cops. Waiting to pop.
They weren't there last night. They were there one night.
Yeah.
One night we went in there because we'd gone out to dinner and wanted to have a stop by on our way home.
Right.
And it's very close to where we live. So it sort of tells you everything. Hi, everybody.
Hi,
Florida man.
It's convenient.
I think we might have a Florida man discussion in the news today, but I forgot.
Oh, good.
And so the we were going to have a beer. We made a point of saying that. Just one, and then we're going home. Mm-hmm. Just one. And we pull in to this joint. I might have told this story on the air. I might not have. We pull in, and this is an outdoor place.
Yeah.
It's in back of a motel. That
nice.
Ought to tell you how classy
nice.
It is. No, but it's very, I love the place because it's very Florida.
Okay.
It's very Florida man-ish, and that's what it is. And it's gotten nicer over the years, which is fine too. They've upgraded it a little bit. And during the day, the oldsters at night, once again, the kids are there. But we got there, right around, I want to say 8:15 or so.
What's this the best improvement they've made?
The TVs above the bar.
Well, that's nice.
If you want to watch the sporting
anymore.
Event.
Yeah.
To they got out the old Toshibas from 1979. And
don't spin the dial so fast. You'll strip it.
No, this is perfect. It's a hipster
and
bar.
And they have
so
good popcorn, too.
Popcorn is good.
The popcorn's really good.
All right.
So we go in there, and we just have one. And as we go in, we hear...
you.
And into the driveway, a car, like a little hoopty, that's a like a Ford. What's a
Fiesta?
Ford?
Old Fiesta?
Ford sedan. Escort? No, a little older. A little older, like
Taurus.
Ford,
a Taurus is a good one.
A Crown Vic or something like that.
Okay, like a town car, yeah.
A big old hoopty pulls in. Okay. And three, count them, three Lee County Sheriff's offices come in. Officers come in with a, and guess who he's parked next to us?
Of course.
So at this point, the police officers are behind this guy and behind my own automobile.
Mm.
So at this point, we may have had a drink with dinner, and we're having a beer, and I said, well, we can't possibly leave. Would you like to know how long we ended up staying? Because we didn't want to. This is how long the police activity took.
Yeah, how long?
2.5 hours.
Oh no.
And
that's
you know
you
me,
a car.
It's impolite to stay at a bar and not continue.
Mike, what do you find more hideous looking than the bottom of an empty glass? Not a thing.
We Ubered it home.
It was the right choice.
But this is after.
Valid.
Let me tell you something. It's a special little place, and I am not comfortable with the Bentley set, and I am not necessarily all that comfortable with the Beagle on the bar stool. I like something in between. But as I tell you, that's my Saturday night. That's it, and I'm not. I won't be doing it again soon. That's it. I've made the decision. Thank you.
When you arrived at the third bar, what were you hoping for?
You know what? I can't. If I say, I'm going to embarrass myself.
Just say it.
Say it.
There's only one reason I went to the third bar.
Okay,
and that is
I will. I wanted to bum a cigarette. I'm a mess. I'm a hot mess.
Yeah. Finally, someone let me out of my cage. Now, time for me is nothing because I'm counting no A's. Nah, I couldn't be there. Nah, you shouldn't be scared. I'm good at repairs and I'm under each snare.
The best of O'Mara.
It seems that we cannot go 3 months without some sort of major incident at Jimmy's Old Town Tavern.
Yes.
It's constant. There's always something happening at Jimmy's. Some good, some bad. In some cases, some dangerous.
Yes.
This week, on a text Jimmy sent to us, was a picture of a four-door sedan that had crashed through the window of the Buffalo Wing
Herndon, Virginia. It was a late model American-made sedan.
I'm not quite sure late model is how I would describe it. it looked like perhaps an older model. I don't know if you've been in a car dealership recently, but that looked like it had been around.
I would say it's of this decade.
Let me tell you my analysis.
Late model is new, right?
Late model is older than new, but newer than old.
Mm. But late model is usually referring to a recently purchased car. Would that be accurate?
I suppose, yes.
Rob drives a late model Kia.
A very late model. Relatively new car.
Yeah. I would say the 2017. I think it's still under the late model umbrella.
Got it.
So thank Jimmy you. Sends a picture of this car that had crashed through the window of the Buffalo Wing, and he captioned it with, "It'll be okay." So let's get Jimmy on on the blower right now and find out what's
going on. I have some questions about this.
We're calling him on his home phone line. He's at home.
The coloring line.
Coloring?
Yes, yes, I'm sure.
Rise and shine, porcupine.
Oh, there, you're up bright and early. That's wonderful. It's always great to catch you when you're ready.
Jimmy.
James Tiberius Cerrito. Let's give him a nice round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Great to have the one of the originals. This is one of the original big supporters of TMOS.
OG.
The first live show we ever did, live appearance we ever did, was at Jimmy's Old Town Tavern in a snowstorm for the Super Bowl. You've got your big Super Bowl coming up. We'll talk about that, but that's not why we called. You know why we called. It appears that more doings in Herndon, this almost freshly on the heels of the great Transformer fire of 2018. This is another incident. My mind raced, and we said we had to get you on the show when we saw this picture. How did it happen? How did the car crash into the Buffalo Wing? The brand new Buffalo Wing that douche decides to... Well, I don't know if it's a douche or a douchette. I have no idea, so tell us.
Douchette!
Douchette.
Oh, a douchette.
I think because there was no injuries, it was okay to joke around a little bit about it. The lady
to do
was
some
okay.
shtick. All right, so walk us through exactly what happened.
So I was in bed sleeping, and
at the restaurant.
No,
at home in Manassas.
He has a cot
at the restaurant. I hope I was home. Jimmy's was quiet. We were not open yet. It was about 10 o'clock. Rosa and the girls are in there making a soup. Our day bartender, Sarah, just arrived. She was walking. Her story is, I was just walking through, and all of a sudden, a bomb. Boom!
Wow. This is a morning incident. 10 a.m. Wow. Yeah. And before you've even opened.
Yes. Wow. Thank God, because if somebody was sitting at table 55, they would have...
They would not still be alive.
They might have some glass in their soup.
Oh, wow.
Glass in their soup.
Glass in their soup. By the way, for those of you just tuning in, Jimmy is a restaurant owner at Jimmy's Old Town Tavern in Herndon, Virginia. We probably haven't explained that properly. And if you're listening to us and you've never heard Jimmy before, you might think that his restaurant only serves soup.
That is not the case. Two references to it.
That is not the case. They have the finest wings, voted time and time. But you know, in what? Yes, Oscar.
Yes.
Finest wings in Northern Virginia. I wanted to say.
Thank you, Mike.
Jimmy, I know. I know this probably doesn't affect you because you've got great insurance and you're a reputable businessman that's responsible. But was it a bay window or a regular window? I couldn't remember.
It's one of the new windows on the Buffalo Wing.
Yep.
It's a bay window. Yes, it is.
Roughly, it's a bay window where you can look out onto the street. It's right. I know exactly where this is in the wing. It's one of the. Wouldn't it be like the A table in the wing? It would be like right near the, because you're right near the window and you can watch the world go by. It's right on the sidewalk there where the lady drove in. So 10 o'clock in the morning, what the hell happened?
So I suppose she was going a little too fast and she hit the curb of the sidewalk. And she took flight. If you look closely at the picture, you can see her front right tire. This is a Toyota Corolla. Her front right tire is about 3 feet off the ground.
Mm.
And her car is resting on our windowsill. And her bumper is in the window. And the hubcaps rolling around the sidewalk. Boom! Tried to open up a drive-through.
The tire is above ground.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I don't know if you zoom in on that picture, but you can see that front right tire is up high off the ground. Like, she popped a wheelie.
Nice set of radials.
For it. There was really no witnesses that could say that what happened to her. I don't know. Was she on her phone? I don't know.
You guys don't have CCTV there in Old Town Herndon?
No.
Like, do you have any no security cams or anything, Jimmy?
Absolutely, folks. You look out. Don't you come near my place. I'll get you.
Okay, that answers that.
Damn, son.
How much have you gotten an estimate of the damage at this point?
Chuck Brown and Company, our contractor, came right out and boarded everything up.
Chuck Brown was also sleeping at Jimmy's that
day. Exactly. With a lion licking their toes.
Good thing about this window, Mike, is it's one of these new ones. There's two windows. So she smashed the outside window, but a couple inches in is another window. It's like a double pane.
Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah, you had that installed for it, because that's my table, which is the one he's referring to. And, of course, anytime I'm sitting in any restaurant, I require bulletproof glass.
Exactly, just like the president.
That doesn't really look bulletproof.
So the second window was undamaged.
And the second window was undamaged, but there's inside the restaurant... The wall pushed in.
I
was going to say.
Bulging disc.
Yeah, exactly. Cement, concrete blocks are all pushed away. So it's going to be thousands of dollars. And luckily she has Geico.
Woo! Yay! Go, Geico.
A nice little promo for Geico. By the way, it's a Toyota Corolla. Wanted to know what it is.
Now, if you heard Gebco, I don't know. But Geico? Yeah.
Gebco. So did you get a chance to eyeball this lady? Did you ever meet her?
I did not meet her. Sarah, our bartender, and the police officers had a good time with her. And the EMTs took care of her. She was fine. They gave her a ride home.
Probably pretty shaken up.
You know, business as usual. They open right up, and then all the jokes start, and then it just doesn't end.
Yeah.
At any time, did the police officer imply that the new wing was at fault?
No.
Okay. Because I know it has. It's only been there about a year.
Rob, you stopped the show with that question. You even confused me.
It was a valid question.
Let me tell you though, Jimmy. There's a man.
As much damage as Rob's nose during the Christmas party.
Oh, okay.
Oh! Damn!
Hold on.
Damn!
Hold on a second. That gets one of the...
Damn!
Jimmy with the...
And I doff my cap to thee.
Wow.
Wow. Hey,
I have to think, Jimmy, that when this happened, there is a man up in heaven that would have enjoyed this
Holy
day.
Oh, God, yeah.
That would, how much fun would Uncle Dave have had with all this drama? He would have loved every bit of it, wouldn't he?
Maybe his ghost was standing in the middle of the road and made her veer off.
Pointing. Just pointing. This
man,
way.
This ought
way.
To cause something. We'll have something to talk about today.
Oh, my God. I told you not to put the window there.
That's it. He's loving it right now. God, I hope that's for real, that he can know this is going on. But anyway, so everybody, nobody
Don't
was badly hurt.
Bar, Mike?
Yeah, oh, God. I remember.
I've seen everything, you know, and then a car drives into the front window.
Yeah, my window damage would occur due to there wouldn't ever be any cars involved. It would always be a human fist. That's what would happen with my joint. I remember I was on vacation one time and I got a call from the general manager, said, "Hey, we had a bit of a row last night. They had to take a couple of guys out." I said, "Oh, good. The police came and everybody." Yeah, nobody was hurt. Nobody got really badly hurt. One little thing happened when they were taking him to the police cruiser. He did put his fist through the window, the plate glass window, our bay window. Yeah, fantastic. Manassas, a happy place to be. But anyway.
I still live. Where were you last night when I was out bar hopping? Come on.
I know. Where'd you go last night? What joints did you check out last night?
We had dinner at Okra's.
How's Charles? How is Charles? Yeah. Is he doing well?
Yeah, I saw Charles. He was out catering. He was doing great.
Good. Okay. And where else did you go?
Getting ready for Mardi Gras at Okra's.
That's right. Okra's, man, growing one of my favorite joints.
Good place.
Was he bummed out about the Saints?
Place. Yeah. And then we walked over to CJ Finn's to check out the
CJ Finn's, that's Chris Sellers' joint and a wonderful place. If you're ever in Manassas, go to CJ Finn's. Although I don't think I've ever been there because it came into existence after I left. But go check out CJ Finn's. And then where did you end up? That place over in Manassas Park?
No, we ended up at home.
What about Yanta Susalas? You don't stop by there?
Used tires.
Which? I missed that one.
It's the morning after. He's not going to keep up on that. I didn't realize that the owner of the LA Rams pulled such a just total screw job on the people of St. Louis when he moved the team. It was really, really horrible. So it's like it was a great article. I forgot where I read it today that the only way you enjoy the Super Bowl is just wish for the Schadenfreude of the team that loses. That's it. Then it'll
be
fun.
Everybody from St. Louis is actually rooting for New England, and that's got.
I know
hurt.
It's just it would have been nice if you had one good guy where you had the New Orleans Saints, but it's not going to happen, Jimmy. Unfortunately,
not with those refs, not with those calls.
And everything else is going well in your world. We talked at the Christmas party. You seemed happy. And thank you again for that
saving
wonderful
Rob.
Spread.
Yes,
that,
and saving my life.
Oh, and saving Rob. What is your, Jimmy, we never got your take on Rob Spiewak that day. Could you give us your take on Rob Spiewak when he took the tumble?
Thank you as well for inviting us to a fabulous day. Everyone had fun.
Yeah, you killed.
Except for Rob's nose.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Rob. I just saw you at Jimmy's, and you're going to have a memory on your nose for years to come.
It will always. You know what? Every time you see the bridge of my nose, you will think Merry Christmas.
Mike,
all right, Jimmy. Yes,
it just happened, and you got to be careful, folks. When you're out there drinking like that, stay in control of yourselves.
Amen, brother.
Thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy,
right. God bless you
thank
all.
You for the update. God bless you, and go back to your coloring book. We'll talk soon.
It'll be there okay.
It'll be okay.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
All right, hang up on him. Thank you very much. All right, that's James Tiberius Cerrito and the story of the 10 a.m. car crash. Didn't know it was that early in the morning.
He was asleep.
I thought when I saw that, I thought it was like from the night before, obviously.
Funny thing about 10 a.m., it's early for a car crash, but late to be asleep.
Do you guys remember when we went to Kinnick in Iowa, we had the road trip to Iowa, and we're with that wonderful man who was the alumnus of Iowa, and he was a football player, and he was driving us. He was our designated driver who hauled us all around hotel to Kinnick, and we're driving out of the stadium, and we were talking about the partying that goes on with the Hawkeye faithful, and we're talking about just how incredibly... well-behaved people are. And he says, you know, there's a lot of drinking that goes on, but by and large, people mind their P's and Q's. He didn't get that sentence out of his mouth where we came around a corner and there was a Ford Explorer that had driven
what
through
a
shop
you have.
Window.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my God. Yeah. I remember that.
Like you parked inside the shop window.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like literally half the car outside, half the car inside. And we laughed. I said, there's one of the well-behaved people now.
I think
we couldn't help it. You know, he's in a car full of cynics and we're laughing. Well, some cynics and then other people that were just there. What
I think his name was
Rob?
Bill Windauer. And
very good
pull.
Showed us
Bill
an amazing Windauer. Time there. Wonderful guy.
Yeah.
Wonderful
and this
guy.
Week, isn't it the big 7-0 for the captain this week?
Yeah, we're going to perhaps give him a call tomorrow, but don't tell anybody.
Well, now he knows because it'll be on his station.
Yeah. He doesn't listen, and he can't hear very well, so it might not make it to him.
The captain.
That's wonderful. Well, everybody's safe. Captain Steve is safe.
Yes.
Jimmy is safe. We are safe. And that means that technically, right now, we can begin the show.
The best of O'Mara.
Before we get to the mailbag, the refrigerator in Podcast Village. Podcast Village, a state-of-the-art facility
yes.
that is going strong with people coming in and doing their recording. We are a centerpiece, the Mike O'Mara Show, of Podcast Village. It is a thriving enterprise.
Oh, yeah.
It is Oscar's 43rd business that he is involved with.
Out of necessity and love and passion for this industry.
It is spectacular.
It pays Rob Spiewak as well.
It does.
Yes, separately.
It is a wonderful facility. However,
he's such a wonderful guy.
It came to my attention
But not
today.
Even the best guy in this room.
No,
I got to tell you that.
It's Pony.
It came to my attention that the refrigerator that was one of the original pieces of equipment
yes.
at Podcast Village is really not matched up with some of the wonderful, sleek technology we have in the facility.
Well, I will say this. It is a beautiful piece of furniture.
Don't backtrack.
No, I'm telling you the truth, and I said this to Mike. It's gorgeous.
Yes.
Glass.
It's not furniture. It's a beautiful appliance.
It's an appliance. But you know what? To me, it's almost a piece of furniture because it's that lovely.
You guys were more
gleaming
excited about
stainless
that than
steel.
Anything. That was the first thing that came in before
yes.
the Podcast
yes.
Village was even built. We got that refrigerator. Mm-hmm.
Huge. It is a restaurant quality glass front refrigerator, and it
yes.
is. It just kicks ass. However, it's a bit... It's a trifle noisy. It hums. It groans.
Mike, when something is making noise anywhere, in your home, at work, do you ever try to address it?
I do. Yeah. I keep telling you to shut up.
I try to. If something is making a racket, it's either repaired or replaced. I mean, you repair
yeah, but
it
I'm
you
just
replace
saying,
it.
Do you? Yeah, okay, that's fair. So we had an issue with the compressor on the refrigerator. And
I did not know that. You see, I just thought it just ran loud.
No.
Oscar, what I'm doing, the project I'm working on up here at O'Mara North is what I'm trying to
Gull Cottage.
Right now. I am trying to tackle my shutters on my home. I'm trying to tackle my plastic shutters on my home and trying to renew them with a Rust-Oleum product. That I was halfway through before I realized that I kind of blew off the fact that they included these gloves with the solvent.
Yes.
And I was putting the solvent on with my bare hands. And I didn't realize until I felt a little tingly that perhaps putting the solvent on. Well, let me put it to you this way. I no longer have any fingertips.
Oh, my God. You're like Dark Man.
That's
you could really go pull a bank job right now.
Yeah.
Mike, you know what's...
But I'm very handy. I'm trying to... They're oxidized, and I'm trying to bring them back and restore them so I don't have to buy.
I've done what you've done with shutters.
Okay. Yeah. And
it's a pain in the butt, but you do have to strip them first.
Yeah.
You have to
at least wash them very thoroughly. And I was
are
doing this.
Are you removing them before you do this? Or are you trying to do
you
that?
You don't have to if you wash them properly.
Here's them.
I removed them as a test. I have two shutters that are test cases. So, yes, I did remove those shutters. But
don't get on,
the YouTube, the YouTube videos have said if you do it properly and you get to the shutters and you clean them properly, you apply it with a rag. So there's no need to really even remove the shutters.
Because I was thinking that if you remove the shutters, a power washer might be your first step. That would be the fastest way to get
them. You can actually just give them a good scrubbing and you give them a good shaking. That'll take care of it.
Give them a good shake.
That's Napoleon Dynamite. I don't know what's wrong with me today. But I put the stuff on, and why did I start talking about?
We're talking about fixing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so I'm trying to fix
a
stuff.
A handyman goes, yes. Like your wife.
Yes.
Rob goes and tries to fix something.
Handy woman.
Yes, but she's your handyman.
Yes.
So
I know the point you're trying to get to. The point you're trying to get to is that Rob would complain about the hum and never make any effort
to say anything to somebody. Be like, hey, I heard that hum, and I can say, hey, there's a compressor issue. We're trying to fix that. We're working on it.
How long do you think you would go if no one called you on it? You would go forever. It would bother you, but you wouldn't do anything.
Because it is not a home unit, I assumed it was just a noisy model. I didn't know there was anything wrong with it.
Yeah, but I could see you're the type of person that walks around life and is like, hey, that refrigerator, well worth the money. I walk out.
I love when he does impressions.
Are you taking it personally that he's complaining about the noise
mustn't.
Of the refrigerator?
I am, because I was, quite frankly... I guess what annoys me about your statement is, if you would have said, I wonder where that noise is coming from, and touched the front of the grate at the bottom, while that is an issue we're trying to fix.
It's the fan.
It's not even the compressor anymore, because we've had that fixed.
Right.
It's the front grate, the grill on the bottom.
Rattles?
Yeah.
It needs to be tightened, and once it's tightened, it'll be over. So if he would have touched the grill at the bottom, it would have gone away.
So if you go out to that refrigerator unit right now,
right now,
and you go out there and you press it in a little bit, it will not be vibrating and it won't make it
Yes.
What does it require to be tightened? Just a Phillips head, or is there a special bracket?
It's an Allen key or whatever.
I will bring an Allen wrench tomorrow.
We have one. We just need to get to it. It's on the list.
All right.
So we'll be updated tomorrow on the noisy refrigerator.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. I guess the my frustration is, you know, instead of just bitching about things, try to do something about it.
Oh, there you go. Okay, I understand. Fair? I understand.
Not sure I was bitching, just commenting.
Yeah, but it's the same. I know you, Rob. I've known you for 8 years. It's like, that refrigerator's working overtime, keeping things cool, making a lot of noise in a podcast studio.
Studio.
Rob, before the show, we were talking about it. I can kind of understand it, because I have seen that refrigerator.
Yes.
In the one time during the decade that we've been in D.C.
That's right.
I visited the studio. I have to say that
it was a great day.
You were thinking maybe it was inappropriate for the room.
No, far from it.
You said we've got these wonderful Mac computers out there, these editing computers that we have that are state of the art, and then we got this clunky refrigerator.
I said that it's just sort of an odd counterpoint that it would be such a large, noisy refrigerator. I never thought.
Well, don't walk it back. What you were saying that it didn't fit out there. That's what I got. I'm not up there, so I don't know. I'm not trying to throw you under the bus.
Tell me what you told the boss.
I said that the refrigerator is sort of an odd comparison in the same room as
your brother Pony was kind of like-minded, right? Pony, didn't you feel that the refrigerator really was kind of
Stepping up right now. Pony, did you feel that the refrigerator is inappropriate to the room?
I think it's fine. It's a little noisy for an editing room, but
beautiful.
They're so scared.
God, it's like I'm dealing with dueling Trumps. Come on now.
Tell me how you feel.
You want to know exactly how I feel? I love the refrigerator. It's noisy. The noise doesn't necessarily bother me.
But you also said it would be more appropriate to get rid of that one and have like a smaller unit.
No, I said that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, we're getting a new, I would say, set built in the front.
Right.
That'll have a new refrigerator.
So I knew that the refrigerator, actually, Oscar and I.
What do you mean
a
set? Like a video set?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oscar and I have actually talked
about
it.
I'm not up there, guys. I don't know what's going on.
Well, Mike, if you come more than once every 3 years, you know a little bit more what's going on.
So anyway,
we've actually looked into the value.
You drive through town.
Flying over. I plan to fly over and go, hello down there. Hello, D.C. and Northern Virginia.
To be fair, we have a circumference road that goes around the city.
Yes.
He probably won't be driving through the city.
Half a moon of the Beltway will get him past us.
We have researched the possibility of the sale of that refrigerator for when it is replaced. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm kind of in on it.
Does it make sense to dog the refrigerator before we're trying to sell it?
It does not make sense.
Okay, just that. Just
well, but I also I didn't think that I was going to be selling it to Mike, so I didn't know it was going to come up during the show.
Do you
I
think you can you tell Mike anything before the show or any of us and we won't ever talk about it on
you,
the air?
I thought you loved the refrigerator,
we do.
Boys.
We just need to, we're so busy, we need another edit station.
We had listeners like bringing beverages
Mike,
in.
Mike, there's going to be another fridge. Don't worry. We're still going to have
a fridge. Is there still booze in the refrigerator?
Absolutely. Booze for days.
Oh, we could use more.
Yes.
See, I think that's super cool.
We have not only soft alcoholic beverages like your hard seltzer and your beers, but we also have around the building, there is some hard liquor just in case.
Yeah, oh, there's like some stashed in closets and stuff. Like an alcoholic.
It's like an alcoholic Easter egg.
That's such a wonderful
It's in a
place.
Cabinet, not alcoholic situation. A cabinet is where you put alcohol.
I find hard liquor.
Like Mad Men, like in the 60s, where it's like,
it's a classic cabinet.
Have a drink. When I met Charlie, you know, it was wonderful that you and I had a meeting with Charlie, and then you and I cracked open a beer after the very nice... meeting with the the nice meeting we had with what was that?
Charlie Birdie. Okay.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Charlie Birdie.
I didn't know he was up in Maine with you.
Yes, yeah, Charlie's
great.
Here. Charlie's here. You want me to bring him back in a second?
Yeah, well, I have a question for him.
Please.
Charlie, you got to get on the microphone, buddy.
What?
Get on the microphone.
Hello, how are you?
Not so close. Give it a little space.
Give one of those face.
Between your mouth and the microphone.
Hello, Rob.
A little closer.
Hello, Rob.
That's good. That sounds good. How have you been? How's your summer?
Charlie Birdie.
I'm going to ask him about the shutters.
I'm happy this is all brought up. Because we're surrounded by enemies is what we are.
That's an Appalachian speak there. He left out of here. He left out of here.
Charlie Birdie is a good guy.
The best.
I love Charlie Birdie.
You know who will stab you in the back at any moment? And Mike, thank you for clarifying today. You're my amigo, my friend, my confidant. It's Spiewak and Ponyboy.
Yeah.
You know who's coming into town this week? And I haven't even told anybody. And he'll be sitting in here the whole show.
Who?
Jim Amato. A nice man.
That's right.
A nice man.
Jim Amato's going to come in
talented.
And panel?
He took off... I think Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, he'll be here.
He's going to panel with us?
He can do whatever he wants for all
the work
he's
wonderful.
Done.
That's wonderful.
I can't wait till he comes.
Rob, what are
and
you
shows
you,
us what? The I'm waiting, respect I'm, and just appreciation. At me,
I'm just waiting to see what direction he's going to take.
Rob might be threatened. Rob might be threatened by Jim Amato.
Oh, I think he is.
Yeah.
That's Rob gave me the threatened face.
No, it's not. I was waiting to see what direction Oscar was going to go with this.
Okay. Maybe, for one thing, Jim said he's going to bring stuff for the fridge.
Are we?
Oh, you mean the really loud fridge?
Yes. And then I was like, man, I wonder when that last time Rob brought stuff for the fridge and just didn't take. Weird.
That is weird, isn't
weird,
it? Weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. This show is so all over the place. We have to take a break.
The best of O'Mara.
And so we had the acceptance to college last week.
Mm-hmm.
And or was it over the weekend that she got it?
It was Tuesday she got it. I think it was a Tuesday.
This past Tuesday.
Exactly.
So this is a big week. And then last night I saw you and your mom and Julia, and you posted something about graphic design, right?
This was great.
She's already like an accomplished professional, it seems.
Last year, she placed second for her region for artistic design. This year, she placed first.
Woo!
And this is what, which I thought was so great. No one else from the school showed up. Because I think they're a little bitter that she won. We had our own table.
Why would they be bitter?
Because they just, you know, I guess Julia won again. And so no one showed up. There were four people that could have picked up awards last night. And Julia was the only one
who
showed up.
Why do you have that look on your face?
Because Pony and I look at each other like, maybe they just have something else to do than to go to this thing.
I think it's sort of, I mean, they had they had a plaque to pick up. I mean, they had awards there. I don't know why they didn't show up.
Not every family is as supportive as you are, is what I'm saying.
Thank you, Oscar, for turning this into something negative. Within 25 seconds.
No, you turned it into something negative because you were saying you thought that they were bitter.
I think they are a little bitter.
You think they're jealous of it? Why do I think Julia probably hasn't said that?
No, Julia's take last night is kind of weird that, I forget, I know one of the names is Perovi, and I think there was another name. I can't remember the names.
These are the people from her school
that did not show up, who got their names read and did not come to get their plaque. It was very strange.
Well, wasn't it all the way up in Baltimore?
It was, but up until day of, I know at least two of them had RSVP'd yes, and then all of a sudden they don't show up.
So was she disappointed that her classmates weren't there?
Not really. Because she was there.
Was this yesterday?
This was last night.
That is so snarky. You're like, you gave yourself a little head thing. Like, you know, you're
I'm proud of my kid.
The weather was terrible yesterday. Terrible. There was a monsoon coming down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure if there was a foreign last name in that, they're like, you know what? We're not driving. Good job. We'll get the plaque later.
I just didn't know. I was just going to say congratulations, and she did that. I didn't know.
Pone
Bone, please backstory. Weigh
in. Doesn't she have beef with the pierogi girl or whatever?
It's pierogi, and yes, they do not get along.
Mm. Yeah. See, you got to say that.
Yeah.
We don't know that. We don't know that.
Because they have been sort of neck and neck at number one and number two for the entire run.
So there's
run
a rivalry?
Program. There's a rivalry, yeah, and I think that's probably part of it. But it was the organization
did
is called.
Did she know that she was going to win when she went up there?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's you're issued an invitation. It's basically an evening. It's thrown by an organization called Pajama, which is the Printing and Graphics Association of the Mid-Atlantic. And it was the Excellent in Print Awards. And everyone, you know, sponsors it. And they go up and there's a great cocktail party. And then for 2 hours, you sit around and everybody reads everyone else's name. And that's what goes on. But it's also set up, there's booths from all the big sponsors. And we luckily got read early in the evening, so we didn't have to stay for the entire night.
Did you see my wife just lean in and grab my wallet out of my pocket?
Can
and
I ask you a question?
She got the wallet.
Why don't just get a bank card in her name?
Yeah. She has a bank card in her name.
I'm just saying.
She
has
my bank card. Same account, Oscar. She has a bank card.
Why is she always grabbing your wallet?
Because she likes to.
Why don't you just give her some freedom? You know, you don't have to.
She has total freedom.
Maybe she likes touching his ass.
Now you're talking.
If you watch the video, she just shook him down.
No, the thing about it is she goes, she grabs it, takes it on my wallet, and then I get this. From the door, I get. throws it down on the counter. Just a teeny, tiny bit of respect for doing this broadcast.
So you let her have her own money. You're okay with that?
Yeah, and she can vote.
Hit the alarm for him. Hit the alarm for him, for Christ's sake. I let her have her
she
own money.
She lets her have her own money.
Carla.
She can vote, smoke cigarettes, anything she wants. Drive a car, show her face, take off her burka, the whole nine yards.
By the way, this would be the classic. This is a classic TMOS segment right now.
It is.
We're busting each other's balls so fast. You need a diagram to keep track of it. No, she doesn't like to carry cash around. So when she needs cash, it's like, here I am. Me, as Rob would tell you, there was a line back on the old Don and Mike show way back when.
Well, you wrote it on a wall.
I'm naked without cash.
You wrote it on the wall outside Graceland and then signed your name.
I'm naked without cash. That's it. So there's a rivalry there.
There is.
And there was a little. So I understand maybe what you wanted to see because you're an angry, bitter man. You wanted to see the other kid. And the disappointment on the kid's face when your daughter walked up to her.
Yeah, and I would have worked her a little bit. But you know what? It was all good when all was said and done.
Aren't these kids like 17?
18.
Yes.
Legal adults. But the thing is that Julia was so proud. And here, just I'll give you something lighthearted and then something
How
funny
How many other
that you will
kids
enjoy.
Were supposed to be there that stipped her?
I think it was five. It was either four or five on the team. So
she's
I think
a
four
pariah.
People. Yeah, she is. Yeah. But love.
You know, is she really ostracized?
No, she's not ostracized. But
I mean,
think
is she really? Is she real? I don't know. Loved? I didn't know about this dynamic.
I think there is a rivalry. I mean, because Mike, only one can be the best, and and I know this because last year, same ceremony, Julia was number two, and she did not like it. She wants to be the best.
So yeah, but they she went.
She but was she was win. A big enough person she to went. Show. Yes.
So when did you track with, were you sitting at a big round table with nobody there except you, your mom, and Julia?
Yeah, exactly. With the sign that says,
oh, that
students.
Sucks. You know what? Hold on. You know, you're making it sound like you're the guilty party. You're not. That's a suck-ass move.
Yeah.
If they got invitations
especially,
and they riz-vipped to this and they didn't go because Julia was going to win, I think that sucks
As
ass.
Of 5 o'clock, they were expected to be there. They had their name tags on the table and everything. So that was a little, that was an
and
odd
did she
situation.
Offer, did you, did, was this your theory or did she offer, like, that's
I think
what
we
thought
sort of, we
was.
We bounced back and forth and I said, why do you think this would have happened? She said, well, there might be some jealousy or maybe, you know, they're not into not winning the number one.
Not everybody can win the pajama.
Exactly, the pajama
but
awards.
The thing about it, but here's the thing, does she interact with these kids?
Has to, because there's a lot of team efforts and they work well together, but
They don't celebrate together.
But last night was a solo win.
Among the five that weren't there, is there a little, is there a clickiness a little bit? Or?
You know what? I don't think you would say there's a clickiness because they don't socialize. They work together, but there's no social aspect.
So they were jealous they didn't show up. But she was there. You were there with your mom.
And we also
she is accomplished because this is not the first time she has been recognized for her talent in the area of graphic design. By the way, a skill that we have relied on for years in radio it's wonderful. It's terrific. A terrific logo is amazing.
Well, not just logo, poster.
I mean, we saw all of it. We saw all of it last night. The technology. Campaign. The thing that impressed me most about it, if I can have 5 seconds to
technology.
If I can just be a proud dad. She shows up in her Skills USA red sport jacket that she hates. She looks professional. She looks like she's probably about 25 actually when she shows up. And she's interacting with all these booths, like, corporate representatives from Canon and from all of these amazing companies. And she's
they're headhunters there looking for scouting talent.
Gotta get the talent
she
early,
is,
Mike.
You know, swapping business cards and handling herself. And I'm just stepping back and watching her work.
You're going to be so lucky when she starts getting employed.
And it was awesome. Really cool. But the one moment that my mom and I actually
His ticket.
Yeah, it is.
My mom and I actually had to step back because we get up to the booth it was a printing company that has one of only 4 laser cutting printers in the world.
Whoa.
So if you see like a greeting card that has intricate stuff cut out of it, it's done by one of these 4 companies, and this is a Baltimore-based company. And there were
T-shirts that way,
and they were with holes in them,
right at the nipples.
Can't take that off with one hand.
No.
So
is that a hair dirk?
Most of the people at this convention either look like a young happening like 20-something in a suit that's too small, or they look like Michael Hughes, if that means anything to you.
Corporate America.
Yeah, corporate America type guy. Well, this is a corporate America guy who really looks put together, and we're looking at some of these amazing cutout Christmas cards and graduation announcements and really fantastic stuff. And I look and I pick up one of the cards. He's got a little display, and I grab one of his cards, and it's name of his company, his name, and it says they're based in Baltimore, Maryland. And I said, because we're up there at it's one of those sort of like halls where they do wedding receptions and conventions. And I say, this is remarkable work. And I'm really expecting to have like a really sort of level conversation with this guy. And he turns to me and he says, I know, we've got one of only 4 printers in a whole country that cuts paper with a laser. And I look at my mom and she is making a super yikes face. Her bottom lip is like, So she backs away, and I said, this Christmas card is great. He said, I know. Look at this. He said, see that snowflake? Hold on.
Hello there.
And he pulls out his iPhone. He puts a video. He says, look at it. That laser's cutting out all them snowflakes all the time. And he said, and there's only 4 of them. He said, hold on. I'll show you something, another Christmas card. And he pulls out one. And he
says, want to run at this point.
I love this. And he says, I love it.
Look at this. Don't it look like a snow globe? And I said, yeah. And I'm really at this point trying to stifle laughter because my mom is now making eye contact at me from behind him.
Snow globe.
He says, the kind of thing that you shake up and it snows inside. Look, you open it up, it's a Christmas card. But when you close it, looks like a snow globe. But it's inside just a Christmas scene.
Sounds pretty cool. Sounds like a pretty cool Christmas card.
It was actually amazing work. But at this point, now I'm just talking with him because his accent is intoxicating.
That's what I've always said about the Baltimore accent. Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.